I believe that's true. I know we like to think of ourselves as, you know, we're not as bad as so-and-so or a certain segment of society, but sin absolutely, utterly was destroying our life. We weren't worth dying for. We weren't worth loving. And yet Jesus loved us anyway and laid down His life. I'm thankful. One of the best ways to overcome anxiety and depression, just make yourself stand up and brag on the Lord. Amen. 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 That'll help you. Amen. That'll help you. Amen. I thank God for it. I like to testify. Appreciate the testimonies. The last few weeks we've had several. And I don't know if y'all are doing that on purpose or what, but if you are, if you ain't, keep doing it. Amen. We need it around here. We need it around here. We've been through enough battles and storms. Amen. To depress the most spiritual and the greatest among us. And sometimes we got to remind each other, and we do it through public testimonies, that God is still good and God's helping us, and continue to do that in these days. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, and yet also by the word of our testimony. Amen. And so every now and then you ought to stand up, just make the devil a little bit nervous. Amen. Send him down the road with his tail tucked between his legs. Amen. Just because he heard you brag on the Lord, how good God is to you. Amen. Mark chapter number one. Amen. I don't know. In fact, I've kind of been condensing this thing all morning long, and I went from 6 points down to 3 points is where I'm at now. And a lot of things in this subject I want to give to you. I don't know I can say it all. In fact, I know this matter. We're only going to read 3 verses, but the subject in these 3 verses could probably, I could probably preach a month, every service for a month on the significance of some of this that we're going to deal with today. And I don't know how much y'all get said of it. I didn't get everything said, verses 1 through 8 on last week. But in Mark, we got 16 chapters, and if I carry on and carry on, we'll never get to chapter number 16. And so I'll give you what we feel like the Lord has for us this morning, and then we'll just see where we go from there. How's that? Amen? Let's stand together. You glad you saved?
Amen.
3 verses, Mark chapter number 1, begin reading in verse number 9. The Bible said, and it came to pass in those days. I like these next 3 words, that Jesus came.
Amen.
Ain't you glad Jesus came?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't you glad Amen. Jesus came?
Amen.
He came. John the Beloved said he came to his own. His own received him not. Amen. I'm glad Jesus came,
Amen.
And I'm glad when he was rejected.
Yes,
by others, he didn't just go on back to heaven and say, well, y'all just do the best you can.
Amen.
Glad he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power.
Yes.
Become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm glad Jesus came.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Boy, I'm getting ahead of myself. The Bible said, from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. We've been dealing with John last week, John the Baptist. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He did not say, you've become my beloved son. He said, you are my beloved son. He said, this is my beloved son. He didn't become the Son of God. He was and always was and always shall be. And this morning I'm dealing just with the simple subject out of these verses, the baptism of Jesus. Now, in your religious mind, right now you're checking out and you're going, the baptism of Jesus, big whoop-de-doo. And in your religious mind, you think, well, he was baptized. I know that. Tell me the rest of the story. But this is the beginning of the story. And there's some things in the baptism of Jesus we want to look at this morning that I think magnifies the Lord Jesus maybe as great as anything he ever did in his earthly life. The baptism story, the story, the account, the history, the scriptural record of the day Christ was immersed in the Jordan has a great bearing upon the rest of his life and teaches you and I even about him. So you listen a few moments and we'll magnify the Lord just simply preaching on the baptism of Jesus. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, help us now. Have thy will in thy way. Give us unction. Give us wisdom beyond our own. And Lord, power, Lord, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, there are some here today that have not been born from above, have not been born again of the Spirit of the Lord, of the water and of the Spirit. Lord, I pray this morning as we do our temporal and earthly best, Lord, may it be filled with the Holy Ghost and may it strike conviction in the hearts of those that have been dealt a counterfeit, who have been dealt, Lord, a deception, Lord, of salvation. Lord, may it draw some sinner, Lord, today to he who is alone lovely and beautiful and salvation. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. We've been dealing with the life of Christ from and according to the Gospel of Mark. We understand that as we've begun this study in these opening verses, Mark does not record anything about the conception, that miraculous virgin conception of Christ. He makes no record in his Gospel account and the way the Spirit of God led him and directed him of the announcement of Christ's birth. He tells us nothing about Bethlehem in those early toddler years when that the wise men and the shepherds have come to visit the baby Jesus. He makes no record of Christ as a 12-year-old young man having gone to the temple and reasoning there and laying claims that he must be about his father's business. Mark jumps right into that time of the coronation of Jesus Christ and the authority that he's going to receive from the Father at the baptism of John for the beginning and the start of the Lord's public earthly ministry. The fact of the matter is, we would note here that and in later records from the Apostle Peter and even the Apostle Paul, that on several accounts, these men began to deal with sinners about the subject of the gospel. It's interesting to me that both Peter and Paul, when they would account of the gospel, began to tell men that they must be saved and give them the story of Jesus Christ. That when they began to talk about Jesus, they always come back to the baptism of John and the story and the record and the account and the eyewitnesses that seen Jesus be baptized. And you'll read about this. Peter references it even among the church in Acts 1 and in verse 22. Peter would deal with Cornelius, that a Gentile, that one that God had sent him to, who was inquiring of the Lord, who was fearing the Lord and seeking after the ways of God, and yet the new birth and the reality of salvation had seemed to pass him by until God sent a man of God by the name of Peter down there. And Peter began to give him the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even tells Cornelius, you know, and you have heard about what happened when Jesus was baptized of John. Paul would do the same in Acts 13. And what a story. I won't take the time. Acts 13, 24. He is talking about the salvation that came through Israel, through the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace that is given to men who embrace that. Paul said that message began to be preached from and published from the baptism of John. And so this account that Mark lays hold upon, no doubt, there's a bearing of influence as we've looked at his life from that of the influence of both Peter and Paul upon his life. We understand that, Mark jumps in here and there as definite things that have a bearing upon the gospel that he is writing of, according to verse number 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so this is not just something that ought to be skimmed over. This is not something that ought to be laid to the side as though it is of less importance than anything else Jesus did. For no, friend, this is the beginning. This, and I'm not saying his conception and the virgin birth and even the glimpse that Luke could give us of those adolescent years in the Lord's life. But this is where, my friend, he's going to be thrust to the crowd. This is where the Lord is going to be introduced to the multitudes where, hey man, he now has set in motion the things that in 3.5 years will bear, hey man, upon him that from which he was sent, whereby he'll bear his rugged cross on Calvary's hill, lay down his life, died for our sin according to Scripture, be buried in a borrowed tomb and raised again the third day according to the Scripture. And so we read here again in our text, the Bible said, and it came to pass in those days, in the days in which John the Baptist, the forerunner and the friend of the bridegroom, has come. We understand he's been preaching for, amen, about 6 months, Brother A.L. He's been telling them, amen, there's one coming after me. He's been telling them that, amen, you must repent and believe that the Son of God is indeed the Son of God, that in that faith and in that repentance there is salvation. He's been, my friend, raising the low places and making them high. He's been taking the high places and making them low. He's been preparing the way of the Lord. And in 6 months of preaching, as if he has made an impact and an effect on all of Judea and even upon the city of Jerusalem. We understand that John in those days came, amen, preaching the Word of God. Amen. He had been sent from God. He had received some instruction from the Lord. John the Baptist was not doing his own thing. He didn't come to institute a new religious system. He, my friend, came preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. He came preaching the message of repentance. He came fulfilling that ministry that he had received of the Lord. And it said, in those days that have come to pass, and the Bible said, that Jesus came. That Jesus came. I say again today, I'm glad that he came. Amen. It's as though for 30 years we, amen, are told in the other gospel account of his conception. We're told about him being born in Bethlehem, there being no room for him. And how that they laid him, my friend, in a manger. We're told of his flight, of how his earthly father Joseph had received instruction from the Lord to get up, and how that he fled to Egypt for a time, and then he came back and settled in this place that is called Nazareth. My friend, we get a little glimpse a few years later. Amen. At 12, as the Lord is in the temple. And we know all that story. And so for 30 years, amen, we have very little that is known of him. And in those days, out of obscurity, in those days, amen, when it seemed like all that had been said about him, the Messiah, Him, the Savior of the world. All the announcements that have been made after 30 years of seeming that none of that was coming to pass, none of that had been witnessed of, and none of that, my friend, had taken hold in the life of the Lord. Amen. All of a sudden, out of the darkness, all of a sudden, my friend, out of obscurity, amen, the Bible said that Jesus came. Amen. His mission through those first 30 years was not lost. My friend, he came into this world to save sinners. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Amen. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And Christ Jesus came into the world, amen, to save us sinners. And so, my friend, Jesus came. He came to where we were. Amen. He came in the Father's will. Amen. He came when it seemed like all was hopeless. After all man's attempts of trying to come to God. And yet, my friend, falling flat on our face. Amen. When we could not go to where He was, thank God Jesus came to me. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus came. Thank God. I wrote it down in my notes. I wrote it down in quoting John. Quoting John Mark here in Mark 1 in verse number 9. Amen. I wrote, Jesus came in quotations. Amen. With a big exclamation point after that. And Brother Jack, I wrote down right after that, thank God He did. Amen. Thank God that He came. That, my friend, when there was no way we could come to Him. Amen. Somebody said, I came to Christ. And I understand the semantics and what we mean and what we're saying. Amen. And the fact of the matter is, none of us came to Jesus. Amen. Until Jesus came to where we were. Amen. Jesus came. Notice three things back. Way of an introductory thought that would get us to this matter, the baptism of Jesus. Amen. I wrote down here that Jesus came. Amen. Notice the place in verse number 9, the place from whence He came. Amen. The Bible said that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. Amen. He came from Nazareth. And when you study Nazareth in the Word of God, you're going to find that Nazareth is an insignificant place. Amen. There, my friend, had not arisen many good things in Nazareth. Amen. Not a lot of good had come out of that region of Galilee. We would say in our vernacular, in our day, maybe referencing a side of town or a part of our county and community that, amen, is not real well known, a place maybe, amen, the law gets called to a lot, a place where, amen, the poor people live or the insignificant people in our mind. Amen. Maybe where they lived. And that was what Nazareth was in the days of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It was that place that we would reference as, amen, the other side of the tracks. Amen. That's where Jesus came from. In fact, in John chapter number 1, amen, there are some men that are reasoning among themselves. Amen. And Andrew goes and finds his brother and says, I've met the Messiah. Amen. This man Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. And Simon said to his brother, amen, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Amen. And may I say, yeah. Amen. It may have been up to that time nothing good came out of Nazareth. Amen. But Mark 1:9 said that's the place from whence our Savior came. Amen. There was something good that came out of Nazareth. And His name was Jesus. And He came, my friend, on purpose, with a purpose. Amen. And we are the recipients of the man of Nazareth. Amen. That came to save us from our sin. Amen. Ain't it just like the Lord that He sent His Son? Amen. From a barren place, from a place that, amen, was known for not much good. Amen, wasn't known for the great products. Amen, they had produced for society. Amen, and that's the very place the Father had the Son come from. Amen, the place that represents you and I. Amen, the place that represents where you and I were. Amen, I'm glad Jesus, amen, came from Nazareth. Amen, throughout all his life, that is the title. Amen, most of the time if you read that, not every occasion, but especially the religious people of Jesus' day. Boy, I'm bogging down already, but amen, they would try to downplay Jesus and his message and his work by saying, this is Jesus of Nazareth. Amen, they didn't mean that oftentimes as, amen, a good thing. It was not a compliment. Amen. And yet that is where Jesus came from. And a lot we can get into about prophecy and why it was. That's not the point, but this is the place from whence he came. And then let me say a word about the person to whom he came. The Bible said in the verse that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John. Amen. He came to John the Baptist, the one who said, I'm not the light, but I'm come to bear witness of the light. Amen. The one that, amen, said, he must increase and I must decrease. Amen. The one that said, I'm not the bridegroom, but I am the friend of the bridegroom that rejoices when he comes. Amen. The one the Word of God said was nothing more than the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Amen. With his camel skin coat. Amen. A jar of honey and wild locusts that had been roasted on the fire. Amen. John came preaching. Amen. He came preaching, behold the Lamb of God. It's taken away the sin of the world. Amen. He came preaching, you must repent of your sin. Amen. He came preaching and preparing of the way of the Lord. Amen. He came saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. He wasn't preaching an earthly kingdom. Amen. He was not preaching an earthly kingdom. Brother Tim, I told on last week about the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God is not an earthly kingdom. Amen. And I won't get in all of that. Amen. This is the one to whom Jesus came. Amen. This was the one to whom Jesus came. Amen. He's coming to be identified with John and John's mission and the preparation that John has made. Amen. He's come to identify with the message. Amen. That John had preached that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And Jesus is the one that takes away the sin of the world. He came to identify and to be baptized by this one. And thus being identified with the message that John preached. Amen. We understand that. Amen. We understand that baptism is referenced several places in the Word of God. For instance, in the Old Testament, the Apostle Paul said, amen, that they of the Old Testament were baptized unto Moses. They were identifying with Moses and the Red Sea crossing. Then Paul bore it out in mind and painted a picture. And my friend, their exodus out of Egypt there, going down into the Red Sea and coming out on the other side, amen, was as though they had been baptized unto Moses. And what a picture of salvation that was. Amen, deliverance from bondage, deliverance from shackles. Amen, deliverance from weeping and brokenness and toil and labor of sin and Egypt and the world system and its taskmaster. Amen. Pharaoh depicting that of Satan. Amen. And how that, my friend, they were delivered by the blood of the Lamb and baptized unto Moses as he stood there with his hands uplifted and said, amen, see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. They come out on the other side. Amen. And they were baptized, Paul said, unto Moses. But Jesus was baptized unto John the Baptist. Amen. We'll see that in a moment. This is the person that he came. Amen. And you and I are baptized into Jesus Christ. Amen. But Christ came to John the Baptist. Amen. One old timer said, amen, this gets controversial of our day. Amen, but he didn't come to John the Methodist. Amen, he didn't come to John the Liberal. Amen, non-denominational preacher. Amen, he didn't come to one who had watered it down. Amen, that men didn't know what they had to do to be saved. Amen. It came to a very specific man. In fact, Nazareth, to where John is baptized, amen, is somewhere between 60 and 70 miles. Amen. Jesus walked all that way. And he walked all that way alone to get to that man and to be baptized of him in the will of God. Amen. That Jesus came, we see. Amen. The place from where he came, the person to whom he came. And then we notice the purpose for which he came. He came, amen, in Mark 1 and in verse 9, he came for the purpose and he might be baptized in Jordan. Amen. He came that he might be baptized. Amen. The word baptized indicates, amen, that there was to be the mode of baptism in which, amen, is the mode in every place that you read a baptism in the Word of God. Amen. Whether it's being baptized under Moses, the baptism of John. Amen. The baptism that the church was instructed, amen, to do with our converts, it always indicates, amen, an immersion into the water. Amen. And so Christ came to be baptized of John. Amen. To be immersed in. Amen. To be placed, my friend, in the Jordan. Amen. I think about this purpose. Amen. That we are told that John baptized in this particular place. Amen. Because there was much water there. Amen. You don't need much water if you just, amen, doing that on top of people. Somebody say amen. Amen. It don't take a whole lot to baptize. Amen. You can baptize a whole bunch of people if that's all you do it. Amen. John wouldn't have needed much water. Amen. If it had just been pouring on top of people. Amen. Why'd he need much water? He needed much water. Amen. Because he practiced the mode of immersion. And that's why we do the same. Amen. And I won't go off on a tangent there. Amen. But let me say that, amen, where John was baptizing, where Jesus came, is that he was baptizing in Jordan. Amen. Think about all the things that Jordan had seen. Amen. Think about all the events throughout, amen, the Old Testament that had taken place in Jordan. Amen. In fact, it is believed in this particular place that John had been baptizing. Amen. Is very near that place of Jericho. What would we know about that place and events that happened there? Amen. Several thousand years before, Joshua, amen, led the children of Israel into the promised land. Amen. Having crossed the Jordan there near Jericho. Amen. It is that place, the Jordan. At the Jordan had seen the power and the presence of God come down. Amen. The Jordan seen the priest stand there with the ark of God. And watched all them people cross across the Jordan, amen, on dry ground into the promised land. Amen, it was the Jordan, my friend, that was an eyewitness. Amen, to what Joshua's command was given. Amen, take your 12 stones there at the Jordan and raise them as a memorial forever. That God has done for us this day. Amen. The Jordan had bore witness to that. And now all these years later, amen, the one that had stood so many years ago and parted its banks, amen, now is being immersed there one more time. Amen. Dividing, my friend, providing a way and a path whereby men might be saved. Amen. Providing solid ground for sinners to come to God. amen, to enter into the rest that has been obtained for the children of God. Amen, the place and the person, but the purpose for which he came to be baptized. Amen, boy, I gotta hurry. Y'all, amen, will y'all let me at least preach one of these out? Why was Jesus baptized of John in Jordan? What is there in the baptism, the scene and the record of the baptism of Jesus that would bless us at all? Amen. Well, let me say number one, amen, I find that in the baptism of Jesus there is this truth of Him, of the sinlessness of Jesus' life. In the baptism account of Jesus, we are told and we are taught and we have displayed that a doctrine that Jesus lived a sinless life.
Amen.
May I say this morning, I think this will bless you. I think if you're saying this will pluck a chord of your heart. Amen. Can I tell us and remind us today, we have a perfect Savior. We have a perfect Savior. Amen. There is no greater evidence of this doctrine than the baptism of Jesus by John in the Jordan, that he had a sinless life. Amen, absolutely leaps off the page to me. Amen, it jumps in my heart, Brother Tim. Amen, it reminds me we have a perfect Savior. Amen, now in the end of the Lord's life, amen, it is Pilate that is going to stand and say, I find no fault in Him. Amen, I'm telling you what a record was given in the end of the Lord's life. At the end of His public ministry, after all that He had put up with, after all that He had been through, Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. A mad friend tucked away in the coronation of His earthly public ministry. Amen, is the evidence that, amen, He didn't evolve into perfection. He had always been perfect. Amen, He had always been sinless. Amen, oh, we're reminded in the Word of God, amen, that our Savior is a perfect Savior. He is sinless. He is separate from sinners, Seth. Amen. He may have came and lived among us. Amen. But He didn't live like us. Amen. He was perfect. He was harmless. Paul said He was undefiled. Amen. And I believe in the baptism of Jesus. Amen. There is the record. There is scriptural evidence. And we can stand with authority and declare to this world, amen, we are sinners. Amen. We are sinful. We are wicked. We are away from God. Amen. We're all identified with sin and death and lust and straying from God. There was one that came 2,000 years ago, and in His baptism is the teaching that He is sinless. We have a perfect Savior. Let me see if I can work this out with you. You say, yeah, preacher, I believe that, but how is that reflected in the baptism of Jesus by John? Well, think about the fact that John came baptizing. Now, I told you last week, it's not a baptismal regeneration as some have tried to make it out. Amen. John was a preacher of faith and repentance. Amen. And by the way, that's what Jesus was. That's what Peter was. That's what Paul was. And that's what Brother Jeff is. Amen. You say, why you preach repentance and faith? Amen. Because that's always been, amen, what God has put upon the hearts of His men. And they are to preach. Amen. I like the way that Paul worded it there. Amen. In the book of Acts, I believe it's at Mars Hill. Amen. That it is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus. So John came preaching faith and repentance. John baptized nobody until they gave evidence and a public confession that they believed on the Son of God and that they had repented of their sin. Amen. And I know John's baptism wasn't all that it is in this day. I understand that. Amen. But it ain't altogether different either. Amen. You might as well say amen right there. Amen. Notice that John came preaching. John came preaching, but John came baptizing those who were his converts. Now think about this. Who came out to hear John preach? And what do we know about those that John baptized? Go with me, if you will. I know we're in Mark 1. I may have to come back. I'm bogging down. I've been cramming some stuff in. And, amen, I feel like I need to get it out. Look with me in Luke chapter number 3. Luke chapter number 3 and Luke's record of this time of the baptism that John is doing. Amen, let's cross-reference some things here. And what I want you to see that will get us to this thought in the baptism of Jesus is the truth of the sinlessness of Jesus' life. Number one, consider with me these five different kinds of people that John baptized. These five different kinds that came out to see what John was up to. Amen. Number one, consider, amen, there is the religious. In Luke chapter number 3, amen, in verses, in verses 4, 5, and 6, you have the message of John and his ministry. Amen. And part of that, I like verse number 6, one of the things that he was preaching and had been prophesied was that through his message, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now, here's the five different kinds of people that came out to hear his message and watching him baptize and the kind that he would baptize. Number one, the religious. Verse number 7 said, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham, their fathers, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Notice what John said. You talk about a tough preacher. Amen. John said, and now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Amen. Now what do we know about this? What do we know about this? You go back and you reference this with Matthew's account in Matthew chapter number 3. And the crowd specifically that John is targeting in this conversation is two groups of people that are very religious. They are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Amen. They are the religious elite of their day. Amen. They are the law keepers. They are the law instructors. They are the law examiners. They can look you up and down and tell you every place, amen, that you have a blemish on your record. Amen. This is the ones that, amen. Now don't be too hard on the Pharisees. Amen. There's a way in which we should, but Jesus said of them, amen, that what they did ye ought to do also. Amen. And they wasn't all bad. They weren't all bad. Amen. Jesus even acknowledged that. But here's what Jesus said about the things they were doing. Amen. Jesus said about the things they were doing. He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Amen. You've got to go beyond their religion. You've got to go beyond, amen, all the deeds and the keeping of the law. Amen. And Jesus had to get on them one day. Amen. And looked at them. Amen. I mean, he blistered them. I won't get into all of that. Amen. He said, you heap all these burdens on everybody else you yourselves can't even bear. Amen. You'll cross land and sea to make one proselyte. And when you get done, you'll make him a twofold child of hell. In other words, all they were offering the people was a way of religion, a religious system, amen, of works and of self-gratification. My friend would never bring about salvation. It would only lead men to be a child of hell. Amen. Now we see this when they show up to see John and hear John and watch him be baptized. It's like they've come and they're saying, we're going to get in on all of this. And John the Baptist looked at them and said, I tell you what y'all are. You are a generation of vipers. You are a generation of vipers. Amen. You think you're going to come out here and get in on the emotionalism of what is going on and identify with this and identify with something that is new, when in fact you're not interested in anything other than your religion. So he said to them, amen, say not you have Abraham to your fathers. No matter who your daddy is. No matter what your pedigree is. And you know what John the Baptist, Brother Bob, is really saying to them? You gotta repent. Amen. He demanded their repentance. He said, I ain't baptizing none of you bunch of snakes. Don't care how religious you are, you're still a sinner. You have sinfulness in your life. And so long as you cling to your religion, so long as you cling to your own goodness and what righteousness you think you have, amen, John said, amen, beware, amen, the axe is being laid to the root, and every life, every heart, every man and every woman that doesn't bring forth good fruit, amen, they are being hewn down, they are being cut down, and they are good for nothing but to be cast into the fire. Boy, that's a pretty tough preacher right there, ain't it? Amen. And that crowd, they didn't like John the Baptist. Amen. They didn't like him no more than, amen, folk don't like your preacher today. Amen. Amen. When you deal with the religious, the message that John preached is, you got to repent. You're sinful. You're a sinner. You must repent.
Amen.
The religious. Notice with me, we'll call the second kind the regulars. And the Bible said in verse number 10, And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? We've heard what you said to the religious. We're not like them. We're just regular old, amen, Johns and James. We're just regular people. What then shall we do? And he gets very specific with them. Notice he answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. You know what John is doing? John is laying hold upon a very specific sin that is in their life. They may be regular people, but what John is saying, all you care about is yourself. The message, really the message, Brother Larry, that he's preaching to them in that statement he's laying in upon their sin, really, Jesse, what he's telling them is the same exact thing he told the religious, you're a sinner. And you've got to repent. You've got to repent. Just cause you don't have the same issue the religious do, don't mean you don't have religious. You may just be a regular old common folk. You may just be regular folk trying, amen, to do good in society. You are looking out for good old number one and trying to advance as far as you can. Amen, you go out and you work and you give an honest day's work. Amen, in the way in which you live. But he lays in upon that particular sin of the self-life. What he's saying is, you got to repent. Y'all stay with me. I'm going somewhere. John didn't change his message for the kind that came the second time. The message is the same. And I say the message don't ever change. The message doesn't change. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Joe Biden walked in this morning. Amen. It doesn't matter. It wouldn't matter if Nancy Pelosi, amen, or the elite of our own community and our own town, amen, or the poorest among us, the message does not change.
Amen.
You're a sinner and you must repent.
Yes.
Yes. Notice the third kind John deals with. Amen. We'll call them the reviled or the rejects. Amen. You'd say, well, surely John, amen, is going to have a little compassion upon that kind. The Bible said in verse number 12, then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Ain't it interesting? Everybody wants to know, what do I got to do? Amen. And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. The publicans were the tax collectors. You talk about a bunch of scoundrels and cheats and liars. You talk about folk that the society in which Christ is living in, John the Baptist is preaching in, and were the rejects of society looked down upon. Amen. I'm telling you, the publicans were that. When they came, do you see all the different kinds that are drawn to this gospel message? They come out and they say, John, we heard what you said, the religious. We heard what you said, them regular folk. Master, what shall we do then? John said, you got to do the same thing that crowd did, repent. You're going to have to repent of your sin, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I ain't baptizing any of you rejects, any of you reviled. You've got a bad name in the community. You've been exacting more than that, and you've been allowed to take and pocket in that. You've ripped people off. You've lied, you scoundrels. Amen. John is saying the message is no different for you.
Amen.
You've got to repent. You bunch of sinners, you've got to repent. Can I say again, the idea prevails that John never changed his message. Amen. He's dealing with the religious. He's dealing with the regulars. He's dealing with the reviled. Notice with me in verse number 14. Amen. Notice that John even dealt with, preached to, and dealt with this matter of baptism with the Romans. He preached to Gentiles. And was interested in them. And was interested in their conversion. Amen. I don't know how they found out. I don't know how they got there. I don't know if they was just passing by. The Bible said in verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? We're Gentiles. We're not religious. We're not regular old Jews and common folk of this land. We're not publicans. We're just hardened Roman Gentile soldiers. What do we have to do?
Amen.
Oh, I'm having a time. Amen. And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. John the Baptist is not preaching a word of salvation.
Right.
When he is preaching to each of these kinds and each of these groups, what he is telling them is this is the particular sin and sinfulness of your life. If you're ever going to be saved and you're going to be part of this baptism thing, you got to repent. So there are law keepers and religious people. There are the regular. There are the publicans, and publicans were Jews themselves who, my friend, were working for the Roman government, taking, amen, taxes and even taking more than they were supposed to from their own kin and their own people. Amen, the first three are Jews, the fourth kind, amen, the Gentiles are in on this thing. And so it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or you're a Gentile, the message doesn't change. We're all sinners. We're all wicked. We all stand in need of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The message doesn't change, Brother Jack. Amen. I won't change my message for you. I won't change my message that God has put in my heart. Amen. And give me a conviction about according to Scripture. I won't change that for my own mama. Are you listening? Amen. Not that she wants me to, but amen. I'm telling you, John didn't change it. Amen. John didn't care who you were. He didn't care what your background was. Amen. All he knew is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What John the Baptist knew is what this generation needs to know. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone their own way. Amen. Friend, we stand in need of repentance to be granted us from God.
Amen.
Thank God for repentance preachers.
Yes, sir.
Say amen right there. We go on record and say thank God for men who won't compromise. Men who won't water it down. Amen. And John's message of repentance said preaching against sin's going to literally cost him his own head. Amen. He's going to be in prison. He's going to be forsaken. He's going to be deserted. Amen. He's going to be almost all but forgotten about. Amen. But I love what Jesus said about it. Amen. There's no greater man born of woman than that of John the Baptist. Amen. You know why? Because John had a sense of the sinfulness of men. One day, John's preaching all these kind. He says, there's one coming after me that is mightier than I. I believe John lumped himself right in there with all that crowd he had been preaching to. John got, I can't explain it all, Brother Larry, he got filled with the Holy Ghost in his mama's womb. Yet later in these days of his life, amen, he understands it. That in light of others, I may, amen, be preaching repentance. I may be standing strong. I may be calling people out. Amen. But then he looks in that same crowd and says, amen, I'm not all that great either. Amen. We're all on common ground. We're all sinful men. And there is one that is coming after me. Amen. Who is mightier than that? One in whom I am not even worthy to stoop down and undo his sandal latch. John one day is preaching to that crowd. Brother A.L. all of a sudden, the Lord's at the end of his 70-mile journey from Nazareth. Comes up on this place. John the Baptist points and said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That's the one I've been telling you is coming. That's the one that's going to deal with their sinfulness. That's the one. He's the reason. Amen. We must repent of our sin and confess our sin and believe on Him. There's the one I've been telling you about. Jesus, you say, preacher, you've only given us four kinds. Is there another? He baptized the Redeemer.
Amen.
That day, Jesus, Nazareth of Galilee, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus, the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. Amen. Walked down and said, John, I want you to baptize me. John, I want to be baptized of you. There is zero record anywhere that John ever looked at Jesus and said, I'll baptize you, but only after you repent. In fact, I wrote it down this way. When he baptized the Redeemer, notice John's treatment of Jesus was in direct opposition to his treatment of the others. They showed up, Brother Mike, and said, what must we do? How do we get in on this thing? John said, you got to repent.
Right.
Another crowd said, Master, what do we do? You're sinners too. You got to repent.
Yes, sir.
Gentiles say, what in the world? How in the world do we get in on this? John said, same way they do. You got to repent. When Jesus showed up and said, John, baptize me. John the Baptist steps back, and the Bible uses some strong language that John, for a moment, he would not submit. He would resist Jesus saying, no, be it far from me. I shouldn't be the one baptizing you. You ought to be the one baptizing me. Why did John the Baptist say that? Because, my friend, Jesus is a perfect Savior.
Amen.
John had always been preaching repentance. Amen. I wrote it down this way. Amen. Brother Moore wrote it down this way. Here's what the Holy Ghost showed me. Amen. You know, Jesus was the only man John ever baptized that never repented.
Sir.
He never repented. Preacher, why would John baptize him and he didn't ever repent? He told the religious, you got to repent. He told the regular folk, you got to repent. He told those rejects, they got to repent. He demanded of the Romans that they repent. And my friend, Jesus didn't repent because he had nothing to repent of.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
They asked, and don't get mad at me because I love him. I really do. They asked Donald Trump several years back, tell us if you repented of your sin. And I hope things have changed since he gave an answer. He answered several years ago and said, I ain't done nothing I need to repent of. Buddy, I'm telling you, that ain't the message John the Baptist
right.
would have preached to him.
Right.
That ain't the message that Peter and Jesus and Paul, amen, would have preached to him. The message is repent. There's only one perfect Savior. There's only one perfect man. There's only one that has been sinless. There's only one that can come to the voice. Amen. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Amen. There's only one that can come to the Baptist. Amen. And say, amen, baptize me. And he never say, I will, but only after you repent. Amen. Only one John would defer to and say, amen, I have need to be baptized of you. Amen. Because in the baptism of Jesus, amen, is the teaching and the doctrine that we have a perfect Savior.
Amen.
Don't you ever forget that.
Right.
Don't you ever let that become dull and casual. Amen. To your faith, do you realize, amen, we are imperfect. We are sinners. We repent. We have to turn. Amen. We're the ones that have gone astray. Thank God the sinless Son of God, amen, came to where we were and is the perfect Savior for our sacrifices.
Amen.
Why, you see his perfection even in this time of his baptism. John said, suffer it not to be so. Suffer it not to be so. You baptize me, not me baptize you. But Tim, here's what Jesus said. He said, John, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Why did Jesus get baptized? I tell you, one of the reasons is it was just right to do. You see, sinlessness can only come by perfect obedience. When we say Jesus had a sinless life, when we say the baptism of Jesus is the presentation of the sinlessness of Jesus' life, what we are saying is that Jesus never one time turned aside from what was right.
Amen.
Sinfulness in our life is the result of rebellion against God. I'm going to tell you why we're sinners. I'm going to tell you why we have all this sin problem in our day. It is because we are rebels against God. Jesus was not a rebel. Jesus was interested in right and righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. It becometh us, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
Amen.
The obedience of the Son of God. The Father wanted him, directed him, commanded him to be baptized, and so he was going to be baptized.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I'm glad I serve a Savior.
Yes.
You say, does that mean anything to us today? We who are the children of disobedience, Ephesians 2. Amen. The children of disobedience. A children who are stiff-necked to God. A children, my friend, who are not interested in doing right. Amen. Why do sinners do what they do? Why do they cuss, tell their dirty jokes, live immoral lives? Why do they go to the barrooms and the honky-tonks and the dance halls? Amen. Why do they live in lust and greed and selfishness? Because that's what rebels do.
Right.
Page one came 2,000 years ago that is sinless.
Amen.
He came with one goal in mind, to obey the things that his Father gave him to do. Amen. Right down to being baptized in the old dirty, muddy Jordan River, the Son of God said, John, suffering to be so now, we can't delay, we can't put it off, we can't resist what God has given us to do. I'm the sinless Son of God, and we must do this to fulfill all righteousness.
Amen.
The sinlessness of Jesus' life reflected in the idea he did not need to repent, reflected in the idea that he's going through this by obeying the Father's will.
Amen.
Notice the sinlessness of Jesus' life in this baptism, in that what happened as he was being baptized. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him as a dove. John the Baptist would say, in John chapter number 1, he said, I knew him not. And I, even though they were related in the earthly realm of a pedigree and lineage, evidently Jesus and John never grew up together. As John the Baptist said, I knew him not. I never laid eyes on him. But while God was preparing me for this ministry, here's what he told me. John said, God told me that the one I seen the Spirit of God descend upon and remain on him. That was he.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Amen.
The sinlessness of Jesus is reflected in the coronation of the Spirit of God approving of his earthly life.
Amen.
Boy, I got so much. I'm on the first point still. Y'all believe that? Is that important? Is that important, the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him? Isaiah 48 and in verse 16, I believe is a prophecy of this very event of the baptism of Jesus. Amen. Where Jesus is speaking through Isaiah. And he said, the Lord has sent me and put his Spirit upon me. And where did that happen? It happened in the baptism of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm trying to circle and find a place to land. I'm talking about the sinlessness of Jesus' life. Here's what is asked by the religious crowd I believe probably a year, a couple years later. But Jack, they come to Jesus. Buddy, he has upset their apple cart. And here's what they want to know. By what authority? By what authority do you do these things and teach these things? Who gave you the authority? I want to show you this. I'll end here. I've got, maybe I'll just mention it and I'll be done. But notice with me in Mark and in chapter number 11. Are y'all still with me? Do y'all mean it? Are y'all really still with me? Mark chapter number 11. I'll be done right here. James and John, the son of Zebedee, come unto him. This is not my verse. Mark chapter 11, verse 27. And they come again to Jerusalem. And as he's walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and scribes and the elders, saying to him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? Jesus answered and said unto him, I love what Jesus answers. He said, I will also ask of you one question. And answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. Oh, buddy, he's got their wheels turning. They want to know who gave you authority. Jesus said, well, let's talk about John's baptism. The Bible said there in the next verse, verse 31, and they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John, and he was a prophet indeed. Now here's the brilliant answer they come up with. We cannot tell. Jesus said, well then, I'm not going to tell you where my authority came from. Because the answer to their question was in the question he asked them. Why didn't you believe him? Believe him about what? He told you who I was. Back yonder when I showed up to be baptized, he told you, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. You didn't believe him. When you heard us talking in the Jordan, John saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you've come to be baptized of me. He was telling you, I'm sinless.
Amen.
When you heard us speaking about the fact that this must be done to fulfill all righteousness, you wouldn't believe that. When you seen the heavens open and the Spirit of God come down on me, and my sinless life, and the reason I showed up was to come to be the Savior of the world. If you won't believe John, if you won't answer that question where the authority came from for John's mode and John's message, then I'm not. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you won't acknowledge what John preached, I'm done with you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Why? Because that's where it all began. The descent of the Spirit of God upon his life was his coronation. And John said it didn't just come off of him and leave him when he got up out of the Jordan. He said, the Lord told me the one that the Spirit of God remained upon.
Amen.
Jesus lived a sinless life. Because of his relation, Brother Tim, y'all going to think me and Brother Tim's coordinating, calling, and getting everything intertwined. And promise we ain't. Been amazing. Been amazing how these messages lately just been intertwining with what we're hearing in Sunday school. Jesus lived a sinless life because I know He's God, but in His humanity, He had the power of the Holy Spirit as the authority of His life. Jesus come up out of the baptismal waters and the Spirit landed on Him. He lived all the way to the day of His death where Pilate could exclaim, the same thing God testified of 3.5 years before, I find no fault in Him.
Amen.
Perfect.
Is it important that He is a sinless Savior? You better believe it is. God the Father sent the sinless one to exchange, in exchange for the sinful ones. Now the Lord, listen, in the Lord's earthly life, in His sinlessness, at Calvary, He looked upon Jesus. He began to treat Jesus in that moment of time, the sinless Son of God, as though He was sinful. He began to deal with Him as though He were us, so that at the end of all that He's going to do, He might turn to sinful man and look at us as He looks at His own Son. Amen. And sinners have an exchange of, amen, our unrighteousness for the righteousness of the Son of God. Amen. He made Him, Paul said, to become sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now I'm telling you, in the very opening day, the coronation of the Lord's public ministry and His baptism, that truth was being declared.
Amen.
The guiltless, the sinless was coming to be identified with the sinful so that the sinful could be identified with the sinless.
Yes, God. Thank you.
Amen. About 25 minutes ago, I made up my mind I'd just preach this point on out.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, you must repent.
Yes, sir.
You must repent.
Right.
Why do men make professions and stay in sin? I'm going to tell you why they've not exercised repentance.
Amen.
You say, well, I professed. Don't care what you profess. A lot of people profess a lot of things. There's very, very little repentance going on. The message is we're sinners. We must repent. The message will never change. God won't change it for you. God won't accommodate you. God will not make exceptions for you. God will not change what He said for you. We got a generation, buddy, they have watered God down so much, they think God's making exceptions for them.
Right. Yes, sir.
God ain't going to change the message for you.
Amen.
For Him to change the message for any of us is to detract and downplay the sinfulness of His, the sinlessness rather of His Son. We got to repent because there's one that came 2,000 years ago who had no need of repentance.
Amen.
Now thank God we have a perfect Savior.
Amen.
And a perfect Savior offers a perfect salvation. Somebody says something's wrong with my salvation, then you ain't saved.
Amen.
Only salvation He gives is a perfect salvation.
Yes, sir.
Say, oh, that salvation stuff, it didn't work for me. Well, then you didn't get the real thing because He only gives perfect salvation.
Yes, sir.
Say amen.
Amen.
I ain't even going to labor trying to tell you what I'm not going to say. Don't you go out here and say something I didn't say. I said he offers a perfect salvation.
That's right.
When he saved me with a perfect salvation.
Amen.
The reason it ain't working for a lot of people, they ain't met the perfect Savior.
That's right.
Amen. Boy, I tell you, I feel like Lord's letting me enjoy the life of Jesus. I don't know what we'll do tonight. I may come back on this. I ain't even got... Can I give you point two? I won't preach yet. I promise I won't preach yet. You not only have the sinlessness of Jesus' life, but in the baptism of Jesus, you'll find the sovereignty of Jesus' person. I believe it's right that I said there's no greater evidence. There might be as great of evidence, but there's no greater evidence of the perfection and sinlessness and that doctrine of Jesus' life than his baptism. Can I say, I don't know if there's any greater evidence in all the Word of God of the doctrine of the Trinity than what you'll find in the baptism of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Is his baptism important? Preacher, I just thought that was something to rush through when we read our Bible reading. Oh no, you better slow down because God's teaching you something.
Yes, sir. Amen.
God's teaching you something. That Jesus, in his person, in who he is, he's sovereign, he's God, he's part of the triune Godhead.
Hallelujah.
He's God manifest in the flesh. He's the Word made flesh dwelling among us.
Amen.
So in the baptism of Jesus, you have the appearing of the Son. You have the anointing of the Spirit. And you have the approval of the Father.
Amen. Amen.
Now all of a sudden, back there in Genesis 1, when God said, let us make man in our own image, all of a sudden, in the baptism of Jesus, we go, oh.
Amen.
Jesus is God.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care what anybody says, you'll never get saved. You'll never get saved till you can acknowledge that Jesus is God and that Jesus is Lord.
Amen. That's right.
He's a part of the triune Godhead. He's a part of the Trinity. He said, me and the Father, we're one. He said, I'm going away. I'm going back to the Father. He said, but we're going to send you another.
Amen.
We're going to send you another. Comforter's going to come.
Yes,
when he comes, he won't glorify himself. He's going to glorify me. Why? Because Jesus is what we know, that one that is in. He's the part of God that has come down to man. He's the person of God come down to man that has revealed himself in flesh.
Amen.
In the baptism of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all manifest. There's a lot I could preach there on that. Amen.